If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me. I'm reading a portion of Scripture found in St. Luke, the 18th chapter, and beginning to read with the second verse. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God and neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, and neither regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the old unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Bible said there was in a city a judge that neither feared God and he neither feared man. He was about as tough as they come. To be a good judge, if a judge says a thing's a certain way, he's got to stay with that. If he ever changes his decision or his opinion, then he is not a good judge. I said he is not a good judge. And the Bible said this judge didn't fear God, and he didn't regard man. I kind of think maybe he looked like a judge that I got a parking ticket here a while back in Dallas. And the judge that was there had a face like a bulldog. I said, but judge, and he said, $20. I said, but judge, I was making a call, $20. But I said, judge, I'm a minister, and I was making a call to the hospital. He said, $20, please. I'll never forget him as long as I lived. He never smiled. His face was a stern. He had a bald head. And he had one hair up on top of that head. That's all I could see. And I knew that he prized that hair more than anything else. Amen. No doubt he'd wasted many a bottle of alcohol on it trying to make it grow and make some more hair. But he was so stern and so mean. And everybody that stepped up to that judge that day, I sit there and just watched him. He never cracked a smile, even if the case was funny. He just sat there and passed his opinion. And the Bible said this the way this old judge was. He didn't fear God, he didn't fear man. He never feared nothing. But he said there was a little old widow woman, and she just kept coming. And just kept coming. And that little old widow woman just kept coming. I imagine that old judge got where he knew her footsteps in the hall. When she'd come the 69th time, he said, Sheriff, close the door. Don't let that woman in here. She's been to court every day for the last 69 days. I told her what my decision was. Sheriff said, I can't do anything with her. She just got to come. You can't close the court. It's an open court. She's got to come. And every day that little widow woman come, and that judge said, Woman, what do you want? Woman said, Nothing, judge, just wants you to change your mind. Just reverse your decision. But he said, Look, woman, I don't fear God, and I don't fear man. Now leave me alone. But she just kept coming. And when she came the 127th time, I can see that old judge reach up and get a hold of that hair that he prized so well and pull it out and throw it down and said, Please, that woman's driving me crazy. Somebody stop her. Please stop her. She's driving me out of her mind. She just keeps coming. The little woman stood before him and he said, Woman, what do you want? He said, Nothing, judge, just want you to change your mind. He said, If I change my mind and reverse my decision, will you leave me alone? And the woman said, yes, that's all I want. Just change your mind. He said, woman, I know your footsteps in the hall. I've got where I can't sleep at night. All night long I see your face. Every time I get up in the morning and start the court, your face comes before me. She'll be there again today. Saying, change your mind. Change your mind. Oh, he said, if you'll just leave me alone, he said, I'll change my mind. I'll do anything if you'll just leave me alone. Because you're wearing me. And the Bible said, because the little widow woman just kept coming, that old judge changed his mind. Keep coming. I said, keep on coming. I said, keep on coming. Just keep on coming. Somebody said, I've been through 10 healing lines and never been healed. Keep on coming. Somebody said, I wrote 20 letters and never got healed. Keep on coming. I said, keep on coming. The Bible said, you have not because you ask not. The Bible said, seek and ye shall find. It didn't say, take one look and quit. It said, seek, 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 and if you'll keep seeking, you'll find. The Bible said, knock, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It didn't say, hit the door one time. And when you didn't get an answer, quit. But the Bible said, knock, 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 keep on pounding, keep on pounding. Because Jesus is on the inside. The Bible said, he that seeketh shall find. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. And to him that asketh, it shall be given. Hallelujah. Some people, they come one time in a healing line. They come one night to a healing service. If they don't get everything they think they should get in one night, they quit and never come back. You come one night to a healing service. You're prayed for and you're healed. You go back and tell your neighbors and your friends around you, just like I told you, there's something to it. I got healed. If you didn't get healed and you didn't get prayed for, you'll go back and tell them same neighbors, just like I told you, there's nothing to it. I didn't get it. Amen. People are funny people. I said people are funny people. But there is something to it. God said, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you haven't kept knocking. You have not because you haven't kept seeking. You come one time and look into something, and if everything isn't just exactly like you think it ought to be, you duck your head and you run. Amen. If everybody doesn't worship God just like you think they ought to, and everybody doesn't preach like you think they ought to, and everybody doesn't sing like you think they ought to, then you think there's nothing to the meeting because they don't do things your way. But there's two ways to do things, your way or another way. Hallelujah! God said, you have not because you ask not. And when you do ask, you ask amiss. Brother, I want to tell you tonight, if you're sick in body, keep coming. I said, keep on coming. I said, keep on coming. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Thank God, if you'll ask, he'll open the door and give you some bread. If you'll keep on knocking, he'll open the door and let you in. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Woman come to Jesus one time. Said, Lord, heal my child. He said, is it meet to give the children's bread to the dogs? I'd hate to be on your service Sunday morning when you call anybody in your church a dog or their kid a dog. They'd blow their fuse, pull their box out, and wrap it around your neck. They do it. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said to this woman, said, you and your daughter's a dog. He said, it's not meat to give the children's bread to a couple of dogs. I'd hate to call some of you old starchy Presbyterians a dog. Some of you Lutherans a dog. But that's what Jesus said. He said, that woman said, I'm not about to give healing to a couple of dogs. But that didn't discourage that woman. You know what she did? She crawled underneath the table and said, Lord, I'm not fit to get around the table, but said, just shove me a crumb down through the crack. Said, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Said, yes, Lord. Said, I'm a dog, and my daughter's a dog. Said, just shove us a crumb down through the crack. And they went away healed. I said, her child went away healed. You know the reason some Pentecostal people are not healed? They get up in the middle of the table and plant both feet and eat of everything on the table. And then sit there and bawl and squall like an old calf dying in a hay barn on a winter night. Amen. And say, I don't know why God don't heal me. I've been in this good old way for 40 years. That's what's the matter with you. You're in the way. Why don't you get out of the way and you'll get healed? I said, why don't you get out of the way and you'll get healed? Crawl on the table and let God shove a crumb down through the crack to you. Humble yourself and the Lord will walk with you. Humble yourself and his praises will cheer you. He won't walk with the proud nor the scornful. Humble yourself and walk with God. I said, humble yourself and walk with God. I've had so many people in healing lines get in healing lines and begin to tell me how good they were before I ever got a chance to pray for. Amen. I've got letters from people and I must say most of them are Pentecost that will list everything that they've done for God. Your works in the eyes of God is filthy rags. God don't heal you because you've done something for God. God heals you tonight because he loves you. I said he heals you because he loves you. But brother, I'll tell you, if you'll humble your old stiff neck and your old stiff body and crawl under the table and say, God, I'm not fit to be healed. It's not through any good work that I have done, lest I should boast. But God, because your son shed his blood upon the tree, and by them stripes I am healed, God will reach forth and let the blood of your son flow over your body, heal them old lame legs, take away that cancer, open them blind eyes. And he won't do it for the works you've done, but because he loves you tonight and don't want you to suffer. Say praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. A lot of our preachers sitting around sick. You can take this for what it's worth. If you get mad at me, you just have to get mad. A lot of our preachers sitting around sick. There's no need for any minister to be sick. If you'll humble yourself, God will heal you. I said humble yourself and God will heal you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know the trouble with us is we blame it on everybody else. My sickness is for the glory of God. I hear that so much it makes me sick to the stomach to listen to it. I'm suffering for God's glory. I'm suffering to glorify Jesus. If you are, why don't you quit taking them headache tablets? Why don't you quit going to the doctor? Why don't you quit taking operations and pills? Brother, if you're suffering for the glory of God, why don't you get the suffering? The quicker you get it over with, the better off you'll be. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I was in Santa Ana, California in a revival meeting. We ran out of chairs. I went across the street to the Methodist church to borrow some chairs to seat the people. Got over there and I asked where the pastor was and they said he was down in the basement in his office. I went down and knocked on his office door and he invited me in and I said, I come to borrow some chairs from you. I said, for the meeting across the street. He said, I wouldn't loan you nothing. I said, why? He said, because you're a healer. I said, oh no, I'm not a healer.
Well, he said, where's that heater at? I said, up there. He said, upstairs. We was down in the basement. I said, yeah, upstairs. Well, he said, go up there and get him. He said, he's the one I want to talk to. I said, just a minute, I'll call him down here. I said, Jesus, this fellow wants to talk to you. You got time to come downstairs and through with him? He said, look, I'm looking for Reverend Coe. He's the one I want to talk to. He's the healer I want to talk to. I said, look, brother, I'm Reverend Coe, as you call me. But I said, I'm not the healer. I said, there's only one healer, and his name's Jesus. He looked at me and stood there a while, and finally he said, you know, he said, you look a little more intelligent than most of that bunch I've seen. I said, thank you. He said, I believe I could help you. I said, well, I hope you can. He said, now you're a young man and I'm an old man. And he said, I'm going to try to tell you some things to help you. Well, I said, I appreciate that. He said, how far did you go? What kind of a degree have you got? I said, I got a BA degree. I meant born again experience, but he thought I meant Bachelor of Arts. Well, he said, I thought you looked like you had some education. Now, he said, I'm going to try to straighten you out doctrinally and help you out. And he said, I'm capable of doing it. And he said, there's my degrees. And he pointed. He had them framed all over the wall. Ph.D., D.D., D.O.N.C.Y., I don't know what all they had. Amen. He had the alphabet and framed. And he said to me, he said, now, Jesus ceased to heal with the apostles. And I said, well, maybe that's so. But I said, I'm an apostle. He said, you know what? I said, I'm an apostle. I said, what does apostle mean? I said, does that mean follower of Christ? Amen. He said, yes. Well, I said, that's what I am. I'm a follower of Christ. Well, he said, I mean that the miracle ceased with the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 that Jesus chose. Then he started out. He told me about what Dr. So-and-so said and what this commentary said and what that commentary said and what Dr. So-and-so said. And I stood there and said, I didn't know whether I was saying at the right time or at the right time, but I said it anyhow. And he told me about what all the books said. I said, now that's a very good talk. It was, because I know it took him a long time to study up all that palaver. Amen. I said, that's pretty. Now, I said, if you can answer three questions for me, I'll take what you give me and believe it. Well, he said, I can answer them because I'm capable, and he pointed to all the degrees again. I said, the Bible says, any sick among you, call the apostles. He said, no. I said, what does it say? He said, call the elders of the church. I said, quote the rest of it. Anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. I said, here's another one. These signs shall follow the apostles. No. What does it say then? These signs shall follow them that believe. Who? Them to believe. Who? Them to believe. Quote the rest of it. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But he said, you don't understand. He said, when they translated that out of the Vulgate into Septuagint version, they got mixed up. And the whole last part of the 16th chapter of Mark isn't authentic. Schofield said. I said, you and Schofield are two of the biggest liars I've ever seen. Amen.
I believe every word of that Bible. I believe every little it, every little and, every little that. I believe that's God's divine, inspired word. I believe if God spoke it, he'll do what he said he did. Brother, I feel that way about it tonight. I believe it's God's divine, inspired word. I believe every little it, every little and, every little that is God's word. I believe it's right. It's God's Bible. Then I looked at that preacher and I said, look, you don't even believe in praying. He said, I do too. I said, you do not. He said, I do believe in praying. I said, you don't believe in praying. Why? He said, I don't know what makes you think that. Well, I said, if you believe in praying, what's wrong with praying for sick people? If God can't answer a prayer for a sick person, he won't answer any other prayer. If God can't answer a prayer when I've got a cancer laying there hemorrhaging with it, if God would look down at me and say, good enough for you, I'm glad you got it. I hope you die with it. What kind of a God are we serving? I believe anybody that believes in praying ought to believe in praying for the sick. The Catholic Church believes in praying for the sick. I can cut healing after healing out of newspapers where people were healed in the Catholic Church. The Methodists believe in it. Wesley Methodist said, I know that God can still open the eyes of the blind, cause the lame to walk and the deaf to hear. Where people will stand on the word of God and believe God, all things are possible with Jesus Christ. Brother, that's in volume one of A. Bose's book, founder of the Wesley Methodist Church, John Wesley. Hallelujah. Brother, if I didn't believe in praying for the sick, I wouldn't believe in any prayer. God won't hear your prayer when you're sick, brother. He won't come and get you in a rapture. He won't save your soul. Brother, if he ceased to be interested in my sick body when I'm rolling and tossing in pain, then I believe he'd be cease to be interested in my poor lost soul that was dying and going to hell. But thank God he's not only interested in my soul, but thank God he's interested in my body. For he said, by my stripes ye are healed. That preacher looked at me and said, do you mean to tell me is all you're doing is praying for the sick? I said, why, certainly. What do you think I was doing? He said, I thought you was healing them. I said, look, I couldn't heal a fly if it had a headache. I do the praying, God does the healing. I pray for somebody with a cancer and say, devil, get your hands off of this person. Then God says, devil, you heard what he said, get your hands off. Amen. I said, amen. I'm just like a banker say to his secretary, make that man out a check for $100,000. Don't pay him out of your fund, but when you go down there, sign my name. I give you power of attorney to write my name at the bottom of that check. The money didn't come out of the secretary's fund. She only signed the banker's name. That's the way the banker told me. His name was Jesus, and he said, Jack, go out. I give you power over the devil. I give you power over sickness. I give you power over unbelief. Oh, my God, I give you power to heal the sick, to open the eyes of the blind, to cause the lame to leap for joy. He said, Jack, go freely. You have received. Freely give. He said, freely give. Bless God, I've got something to give you tonight. I said, I've got something to give you tonight. I feel like the Apostle Paul. I haven't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but I've come to you with a demonstration of the power of the living God. And brother, I believe he's working in me and through me and with me tonight. I prayed for a Baptist woman that had a great big garter on her neck for 21 years. That old garter just melted away. Brother Young of the Thornton Street Baptist Church came by to her and said, look, if that garter is still gone Saturday night, I'm going to ask that holy roller to preach for us Sunday night. She said, it'll still be gone. He said, I'm going to see if it is. Saturday night he came by and the garter was still gone. She said, it's gone, isn't it? He said, yes. It's gone. Come back at the platform where I was and said, say, would you preach for me Sunday night? I said, I don't know who are you. He said, I'm pastor of the Thornton Street Baptist Church. Brother Young's my name. And I said, sure, I'll come preach for you, but I'll probably preach on the Holy Ghost. He said, look, if the Holy Ghost is for us, we want. And he said, evidently, he said, the Holy Ghost is in the Bible. He said, anything that'll take a garter that's been on a woman's neck for 21 years and make it melt away, he said, you can preach it in my church and we'll all receive it when you get unpreaching it. Hallelujah. I went over to that Baptist church, and brother, I preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, and the fire was there. God baptized the deacons. There were four preachers there that night, five altogether, I believe. I don't remember their churches nor their names tonight, but I know the power. God came down and baptized them preachers. One of them was down on his hands and knees, crawling on the floor, saying, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. One of them was laying on the altar and rolled off on the floor and began to praise God and said, God, I've got to have it. A Sunday school teacher standing in the aisle fell flat on her back and began to speak in a language I'd never heard before. People were all over that church staggering under the Spirit of the Lord, not under the Spirit of whiskey. No wonder they thought they were drunk on the day of Pentecost. They might have been acting like they were drunk. Sure, they were staggering. But the Bible said this bunch was not drunk as he supposed. This is only the third hour of the day. The honky-tonks are not open yet. This bunch is just filled with the Spirit and praising God. God baptized 19 of them people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Brother Smith went back to his church and began to anoint the sick and pray for them. Cancers began to disappear. Tumors began to leave people's bodies. Blind eyes began to open. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something, you peel your ears to this tonight. If the Pentecostal people won't accept this message that we've always believed and stood on, God will take it away from us and give it to somebody that will take it and go with it. God's going to have a people, and he's going to raise up a people in this last day. He's not coming after a weak, sick, miserable church with cancers and tumors and blind eyes, but thank God he's coming after a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. I say a glorious church. In this last day, God's going to raise up Joshua's. God's going to raise up giants, spiritual giants. Clothe them with the power of God. Let me tell you something. You may not agree with me, but God's going to pass by a bunch of our pulpits, and a lot of our preachers are going to be left standing in the pulpits, dead and dry. And God's going to raise up fishermen. God's going to raise up tax collectors. God's going to raise up car salesmen. God's going to raise up anybody that he can raise up and fill them with the power of God to bring this last day message to the world and set them on fire for God and get them ready for the coming of the Lord. Why don't you say amen? Rudolph, one of the biggest Baptist preachers in Texas today, has 2,700 and 2,800 in Sunday school every Sunday morning. Anoints the sick and prays for them, and God opens the eyes of the blind. The lame throw away their crutches and leap for joy. He's pastor of the First Baptist Church in Corpus Christi. Some of you old guy deadhead Baptists that sit around here with your eyes bulged out of your head and think this thing isn't God, you better wake up. This is God. God's moving in the earth today. I said God's moving in the earth today. I don't care whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, or what you are. You can have this thing. This is coming from God. God's anointing his whole church today and making them one body and one people. Fill them with the power of God and the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 One preacher told me, he said, after your revival, I couldn't do anything with my people. And I said, do you know why you couldn't do anything with them? And he said, no. I said, because you didn't get what I was preaching, and they did. Brother, I'll tell you, after this thing's over, if you preachers don't get what I'm preaching and don't get full of the Spirit of God and the power of God, your people will kick you out of your churches. Get somebody else to pastor. This thing is going to come. I said it's going to come. God's going to fill every person and every preacher, and everybody will accept this thing. God knows I'm not preaching against these preachers. I love every one of them. They know I do. I love Brother White like I would my own brother. And Brother Cooper, they're all good men of God. But brother, I think it's a time that God wants us to wake up and take the things that God's got to offer us. I said, keep on coming. Keep on knocking. Keep on looking. Keep on seeking. Hallelujah. For him that knocks, it shall be open. For him that seeks, he shall find. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God.
Mister, I'm closing. For some of you just flat scoot the varnish off of my chair. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. I love him, don't you? Old boy run off from the TB sanitarium when I was in Santa Ana and came to my meeting. I hadn't begun to pray for the sick yet. We were fasting and praying and waiting upon God for a revival. This old boy had run off from the TB sanitarium and came to my meeting. Doctor called one day and he said, "Is Mr. Harrison in the congregation out there?" I went out and asked him. He raised his hand. He said, "I thought you was going to pray for me. It's the reason I put my hand up. If I knew what you wanted of me, I'd never put my hand up." I said, "The doctor's on the phone and said you run off in the TB sanitarium here in Santa Ana, California." He said, "Yes, that's right." I said, "Look, you got to go back." He said, "I'm not going back." He said, "God told me he was going to heal me and you was going to pray for me." And he said, "I'm going to stay right here till I get it." I told the doctor what he said, and the doctor said, "Listen, that man's TB is contagious." Said it gives TB to his family, to his wife, to everybody he comes in contact with. Now he said, "You either get him back out here, or we're going to have the police pick him up, put him in jail." So I told Mr. Harrison what he said. He said, "What I say." Said, "Being in that sanitarium is just like being in jail anyhow." He said, "I can't see my wife. I can't see my family." He said, "I'd as well off in jail as I am there." I talked to him, and finally he said, "Under one condition, preacher, will I go back to that sanitarium?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "If you'll promise me faithfully tomorrow, when you begin to pray for the sick, you'll come to the sanitarium and pray for me. That's the only way I'll go back." I said, "All right, I'll do that." So we put him in the car and we took him back out to the sanitarium and let him out. Went on back to the church, and the next night I prayed for the sick, and the next day I went out to the sanitarium. I asked for him, and they came back on Ward 12, and when I got there, every radio was going with Boogie Woogie, and they were playing cards and cussing and telling dirty jokes and smoking. I turned to Brother Marcy, the pastor, and I said, I can't pray for anybody in all this." Well, he said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going up there and ask that doctor to put him in a room to himself." He said, "If you know that doctor, you'll leave him alone." He said, "That doctor hates Holy Roller Preachers, as he calls it." I said, "I don't care." I said, "I'm going to go ask him." I went up there and I said, "Say, could you put Mr. Harrison in a room to himself?" Doctor said, "What for?" I said, "I want to pray for him, and I can't pray for him back there on that wall." He said, "Look, why don't you preachers run your business and let us doctors run ours?" I said, "That's exactly what I'm trying to do." He said, "Tell me, what can you do for TB?" I said, "Nothing." He put some x-rays on a machine, turned on a light. He said, "Look at his lungs. One hole in one of those lungs the size of a silver dollar. The other lung is infected." He said, "What can you do for that?" I said, "Nothing." "Well, what do you want to do?" "I just want you to put him in a room so I can pray for him." "What good would that do?" I said, "I know a fellow that can do him some good." Hallelujah. That is what I asked that fellow to do him some good. He looked at me and he was mad. And I could tell it. He said, "Would it make you feel any better if I put him in a room?" I said, "Yeah, me and Jesus would both feel better." So he said, "Put him in there." They put him on a gurney and wheeled him into the room, and I went in and laid hands on him and prayed for him. He looked up at me and he said, "Thank you, preacher." He said, "God healed me." He said, "I felt the power of God go through me, and something warm stopped at my lungs." He said, "I'm healed. Thank you for praying for me." I turned around and I left the hospital. They took him back to his ward. And every day he'd say, "Doctor," and the doctor would make his rounds, "I'm healed. I'm healed. I want to go home, doctor." Doctor laughed at him the first few days, but he kept it up. Like the little old widow woman, he just kept on pestering that doctor. Every morning when the doctor would come on the ward, he kept hollering at that doctor he was healed. Finally, about the 10th morning, that doctor said, "Listen, I've heard you as long as I want to hear you. Now," he said, "I'm going to prove it to you and those two holy roller preachers that you're not healed, and you're just as sick as you ever was." So he said, "Take him to the lab and get a skin test." Took him to the lab, and about an hour later, the doctor sent word back down and said, "Take him back to the lab again for another skin test." That one came out negative. There's something wrong. Nurse said, "The doctor said for you to go back to the lab." The old boy said to her, said, "Why?" Said, "Didn't the skin test turn out right?" She said, "Never mind," said, "the doctor said go back to the lab." He said, "Tell me, how did it turn out, nurse?" She said, "It was negative, but the doctor said that didn't mean a thing." Sent him back and took another one, and it came out negative. Took the third one, and it was negative. Doctor said, "Get him ready for x-ray in the morning." Brought him in a big glass of chalky stuff, and he drunk it. Wheeled him into x-ray the next morning and x-rayed his lungs. Several different directions. Took him back down to the ward again, and late that afternoon sent word down and said, "Have him ready for x-ray again in the morning." He said to the nurse, "What's the matter? Was the x-rays all right?" She said, "It showed no trace of TB anywhere." Said, "They're x-raying you again to find out what's the matter." They took him back and x-rayed him again. The next day, the doctor called him into the office. They gave him his clothes, and he said, "Look, Harrison, you go get those two holy roller preachers when you get out of here. I'm sending you out. Tell them to get themselves out here and heal everybody in this place." Why, he said, "They can't do it." He said, "Don't tell me they can't do it." He said, "Look at here." He said, "Here's your lungs before." He said, "See that hole in them lungs, the size of a silver dollar?" Said, "Here's the x-rays now. We can't even find the scar where the hole was." Said, "Don't tell me they can't do it." Said, "You tell them to get out here." Said, "They'll do themselves a favor. They'll do the state of California a favor and everybody in this place a favor if they'll come out here and heal everybody in this place." He said, "Doctor, they can't do it." "Why can't they do it?" He said, "I know they can do it." He said, "No, doctor, they can't do it because the people out here don't want to be healed. They don't want to believe. They don't want to accept Christ. They don't want to walk with God." Two or three nights later, it was my privilege to see that same doctor in the meetings and come to the altar and gave his heart to God. Amen. And after he gave his heart to God, he said, "I can understand now why others wouldn't believe what God is doing." There's some people in this tent tonight. If somebody come in here that was dead, and God raised them from the dead, they'd say, "I paid them to lay down and die. I paid the doctors to say they was dead, and I paid them to get up again." There's some people who wouldn't believe it if some of their relatives raised from the dead. They wouldn't believe it. I said they wouldn't believe it. Now, I'm not here to try to convince a bunch of unbelievers that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But I'm here to preach the gospel and to demonstrate the power of God to those that will believe that God is moving in the earth today. Lift your hands and praise God.